How about you, Tim? Have you got any thoughts?
I think it sort of resonates pretty much with the way I've been thinking, you know, sort of it articulates a lot of the thoughts I've been having anyway, at which stage. So it seems quite sort of like it just sort of goes through in a reasonably sensible way, and just everything seems to be sort of, I don't know. I mean, it's the middle way as a principle, as a way of evaluating and making judgments about things, seems to be a useful tool. I think the toolbox analogy is a nice one. You have a lot of sort of ways of interacting with your environment, and some are more helpful than others. And specifically on the bits actually you've discussed, the one that stood out as a bit I didn't quite understand was the when you came towards practicing in any context, because my understanding of the middleware sort of principle would be that you wouldn't have any metaphysical beliefs that you couldn't justify. If you were then going to have a middle way of Christianity, isn't that in direct conflict with the core of what being a Christian is? How do you sort of balance those, and how can you follow both at the same time without just ending up in a sort of argument with yourself almost?
Well, if you have a belief about what the core of being a Christian is, then that itself would be a metaphysical belief.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But the definition of a Christian sort of implies a certain set of beliefs. I think that's because if you didn't hold those beliefs, would you be considered to any extent a Christian?
Well, would you be considered is the issue there, isn't it?
So
it's a question of who would be doing the considering and in what context. But yeah, there are Christians like Don Cupid, for example, who don't believe in God as a supernatural being, or so there are Christians who have questioned the kind of metaphysical structures of belief in Christianity.
I think Richard Holloway still identifies as being a Christian, doesn't
he? He's another good example. Yeah. His books are really good, actually. I'd recommend those. Well, you must have read them.
Yeah, I've read one or two. Yeah.
Yeah. So the distinction there is between Christianity as a tradition with lots of live organic stuff. So there's, you know, when you go into the church with the stained glass windows, and when you meet the people and eat the scones and whatever it is, then you're engaging with Christian tradition in various ways. Yeah. But that may be something you can work with, well, particularly if you're from that background, and may decide that's the best way of working because it's got had so much effect on your life. So I respect kind of Don Cupid's judgment there, because he's basically some sort of postmodernist who doesn't believe in supernatural stuff, but he was Dean of Emmanuel College, Cambridge. You know, he continued being an ordained member of the Church of England in that context, and there are other people in that condition, sort of atheist priests, as it were. So they're taking a basically cultural view of their tradition and working with it. It seems to me using other kinds of priorities than just the metaphysical beliefs, which traditionally Christianity, you know, puts in the creed and makes the priorities.
There's an interesting, to me, parallel between Don Cupid with the Christian tradition and Stephen Batchelor with the Buddhist one, that Don Cupid really sees Jesus as a philosopher, as a with no sort of metaphysical significance to him. Similar interpretation to Batchelor with the Buddha.
At the risk of being frivolous, I saw a stand-up comic last Sunday called Sam Brady, who was really funny. And he was saying that, you know, he was attracted to religion, he wanted to be religious, but he didn't believe in God, and he was thinking, but he discovered that there's a couple of religions that you don't need to believe in God to follow, and he said, and they're Buddhism. You can be a Buddhist or you can be in the Church of England.
Another thing that I like it's something you said in Truth on the Edge. It's like, said, saying you're not religious is a bit like saying you're not geographical or you're not historical. It's a cultural thing, religion. I've said most of my life I'm not religious, but what I mean by that is that I hold no beliefs about metaphysics. And I think I've thrown a little bit the baby out with the bathwater to an extent, you know, because, anyway.
So what's the alternative meaning of religious then? Because I would say I'm not religious. Mm. And what was the argument against saying that?
Well, religion, you know, the various definitions of religion, but you know, you can understand as religion not just belief, but a lot of other things. So there's obviously lots of ritual, lots of stories, lots of artistic tradition, lots of practices, meditation, prayer practices, and so on. Buildings, architecture, you know, there's a and of course communities, and so religion has a lot of different dimensions, and there's a scholar called Ninian Smart who identified religion in terms of those seven dimensions of religion, of which only one was beliefs. So if you analyse religion in that sort of way as a phenomenon, then obviously belief is the aspect of it that people tend to emphasise, but if you look at what actually goes on in religion, it's a lot more than just that.
But I mean, sort of specifically to my life, for example, how could it be said that I am religious?
To me, I don't see it as a dichotomy. Like, I don't say I am historical as opposed to I'm non-historical.
But I understand that I have my context in history.
Okay.
In a different way.
Yeah, and you have your context in religion as well, in the sense that you will have certain aesthetic preferences which will be influenced by your culture, and you will have ways of engaging socially in particular groups and those kinds of things.
Then that sounds more like culture to me. Are we saying that culture and religion are almost the same thing?
They're not quite the same thing, but they overlap.
Yeah.
Considerably, that there were certain kinds of symbols that we might relate to because they're part of a religious tradition that we have experience of, for example. I mean, do you respond at all to Christian symbols?
Well, we celebrate Christmas. I was like, trying to keep that one back.
I think that's part of the problem in the public discourse, is that we have definitions for these words, but we also have ways of using them. And, you know, if you actually ask somebody to vocalise their definition of religion, they'll often home in on things like belief. And I don't know, but when people talk about, particularly people who are identified with something like Christianity or Islam, when they talk about their religion, it's so much more to them than their beliefs. It's all these other things. And if you attack their religion on the basis of the beliefs of that religion, they will psychologically just put up all the shutters because, you know, they perceive you as not just attacking these beliefs, but their entire way of life, their family, their friends, all the things they care about, the things they find beautiful.
Well, Judaism's the most interesting one that I find, really. Like, how, you know, it's just impossible to separate, isn't it, if you're Jewish? Mm. You are your religion.
Do you like... do you find churches beautiful? Do you find it contemplative to sit inside a church?
Not really.
Not really, okay.
But that's only one example.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that there aren't some beautiful churches, but yeah. I don't usually get a particular sense of atmosphere from going in them, which I think a lot of people do, and that they do give off.
Yeah, and I think you can get a sense of atmosphere from a secular building in a similar way. I don't know if it's... I think taking the sort of cultural parts of religion and including them in the religion rather than including them in the culture of that, as it might be overstepping what the purpose of the religious part, if you see what I mean. I think,
yeah.
I think a lot of cultural things mix between religion. I mean, what is a lot of the cultural stuff in Christianity isn't originally Christian.
Mm.
Yeah. It comes from all the pagan beliefs from before, and therefore they're not really religious, they're just cultural things.
Yeah.
They're not part of... They're used by that religion, and they are associated with that religion. But in a lot of ways, if the religious aspects, if the belief aspects weren't there, they wouldn't go away.
Yeah.
You would still have these sets of symbolisms, they just wouldn't have any metaphysical sort of context.
Yeah.
And so, to me, the religious part is the belief part. The rest of it is cultural, because you could have the cultural significance without needing any metaphysical beliefs.
Have you heard of this book by, what's it called, Alain de Botton? It's called Religion for Atheists. The reason I asked about the church, because he's saying he would like to, like, it would be nice for to have beautiful buildings where we could commune and be contemplative, but without all the baggage of metaphysics. Because there's something that, whatever persuasion, you know, we gravitate towards these places.
But it comes down to what you think of as really religious. So you, you know, you can choose to define religion in one way, or you can choose to define it in another, I think. So we have control over what sorts of interpretations we want to use for our terminology. And that's one of the issues, actually, which we can discuss when it comes to meaning. I think we're entitled to stipulate, you know, we can decide to interpret a term a particular way if we can come up with a clear rationale for why it's useful to use that word in a particular way. So one particular reason why I want to challenge the traditional use of the word religion as it's developed in the West anyway is that... Just this kind of attitude that goes with it, which tends to inevitably get people to gravitate towards the absolute justifications in a religious context. Whereas if you use religion in a broader sense, then it can be a way of, well, getting us to appreciate the ways in which religion is addressing our experience, or addressing the way in which the whole bundle of things associated with religion is addressing our experience, whether you choose to call them religion or not. That's the underlying point. Also, just what we're doing now, you can see as an aspect of a religious tradition. You know, why are we here? Because we've all had contact with Buddhism, I take it, in some way, and then we've all had various thoughts and dissatisfactions about the traditional way that Buddhism is presented. But that's still a religious aspect. You know, we're, in a sense, we're doing religion here, because it's an offshoot of something that was sparked off by religious concerns.
Another reason that my preference, rather than sort of narrow, I mean, it sounds as if you've a preference for a slightly more narrow definition of religion that identifies supernatural belief as being a critical component of it.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm kind of maybe happier to understand religion as being a whole bag of things, and that there's not one individual thing within it that is even necessarily alone sufficient. So... I guess the reason that I gravitate towards that understanding is the way that I tend to value anatta in Buddhism. It's this idea of not self, or the unfindability of the self, not just in people, but in concepts and ideas. And I think we get stuck when we start to think that we can find something in religion that is essential, that is of its essence, that you can reduce it to. I find it more creative to kind of pull back and say, oh, okay, I can't find the religion inside Christianity, or it's not a thing. It's like it's a whole load of conditions and influences, and I'm working with that in a slightly free way. But then to pull that back, just to kind of, the next question, so two parts of the question, I suppose, is one, that's one way of viewing it. But the other thing I would like to follow on from that is, how we can define metaphysics, because that seems to be the key thing that we're mostly agreed upon, is that is problematic.
Mm.
How do you work out what's metaphysical and what's not? Sorry, you wanted to come in when I finished on the religion thing.
Yeah, I was just thinking that without a metaphysical element in a definition of religion, are you really defining something else? Isn't that there must be a point where I'm saying it's only the metaphysical
element. Right, yeah.
But without the metaphysics, without something beyond the self, without a god or some kind of deity or something in the religion, it's, as far as I can see, the word religion doesn't apply anymore. It's more of a cultural or a group of people or a tradition, all these other things it can be. But at some point, a religion is different from any other social group of people. And that, it seems to require at least some metaphysical component. And I'm not saying it's defined by its metaphysical component. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's limited to that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think,
yeah.
But in the same way that a pen must be able to mark the paper,
right,
or it can't be really considered a pen anymore.
It's
a bit of plastic with all the components it may have. Even if it's got ink, it's not necessarily a pen.
Mm.
But there must be a point where you can use it as a religion. And if you can't, if there is no metaphysical, if you don't have that part, is it useful as a religion or is it something else?
Okay. Now, Stephen Batchelor suggests that the Chinese way of framing the notion of a religion is the term the great matter of birth and death. And he argues that maybe at one time, religion could be seen as about the mystery of things, that, you know, that although I hold no metaphysical beliefs, that's not to say that when I consider whether there's something rather than nothing, at times I find that mind-boggling. But I like that, you know. I mean, I like that feeling of perplexity and awe and wonder about the uncertainty or the unknowingness of certain things. And Batchelor makes the point that where religion took the wrong step was trying to find answers to those things. So so why can't religion be that?
Yeah, I think from my perspective, what defines what I mean by a religion, it's a tradition or a set of beliefs which give you those answers rather than just asking the questions. At the point they give you a truth, an answer to what happens after death or before birth, or gives you a truth about the beginning of the universe, when they're giving you that.
There are other considerations as well. I totally agree with you that it's important to understand, have a common understanding of what words mean and that people are using them the same way, otherwise you do just end up talking past each other, which is why conversations like this are really important.
Right? Yeah.
But in terms of actually converging on a shared understanding of how we're going to use this term in this debate or in this book or in this discussion, there are obviously wider political and cultural considerations which might govern a preference for this definition rather than that one. And I guess the reason that I'm cautious about homing in on a definition that requires metaphysical belief is, again, in terms of the wider public discourse. When you start, that leads you, if you have a middle way approach to things, to quite legitimately start saying things like, we don't need religion. And when you start saying stuff like that in the wider, in the wider arena of public discourse, people get really defensive, and they just all the barriers go up.
Yeah.
But you don't have to say that. you could just not say that.
You don't. Yeah, but the definition of the word implies that. If you choose that, and okay, you can politically choose to not say it, but the chances are one of your opponents will actually say, ah, yeah, you might not be saying it, but this is what this implies, and you're just trying to get rid of all our traditions and blah, blah, blah.
Well, aren't we?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, if you come back to, remember the point I made about chocolate biscuits?
Mm.
You know, and you know, you've got the you that wants to go at the chocolate biscuits and the you that wants to eat the chocolate biscuits. And if the goal the middle way is pointing to is to get us to integrate those energies, you know, that get them to be on the same side, I think there's a, seems to me to be a similar thing going on here. That there's a side of us that wants to give up, we Ladrian. And there's a side of us that wants to hang on to, Ladrian. And there's whatever we do, I think what if we want to come up with a solution to that kind of conflict, we have to integrate those energies. Which means in some way we need to recruit the pro-religious energies as well as the anti-religious. So this, a lot of this hangs on stuff that we'll discuss tomorrow about integration. And also I think stuff about meaning, which is the following day. So this whole question of what does a word like religion mean? We see that there are ways we can choose to define it, as we've been saying, but there are also things it means in our guts which might lead us to experience a wish to define it in a particular way, which we'll need to recognise and work with.